Hi, I'm Chanel T. I'm a grateful and recovered compulsive eater here in Washington State. Oh, by the grace of God today, all of it is. And I'm going to talk about the honor and privilege of working with others from my perspective, my experience. And I heard someone with decades and decades of recovery say, I hate sponsoring and I love sponsoring because both things can be true. And I want to just say up front that while I find every piece of OA literature that I've read enriching, it's the big book of AA that informs how I work my program, how my sponsors took me through the steps, and how I work when I'm going through the steps with someone, when they're abstinent, getting abstinent, going through the steps. So I am definitely a person who believes what the big book says about sponsoring. And if you're a wordsmith and you've noted, maybe it is, but I haven't seen in the first 164 pages that it says sponsor, sponsoring, sponsee. It talks about it in an entire chapter working with others, right? And even way before that. So I'm going to take us back really quick to the forward to the second edition, just really quick. And we're talking about Bill W. So in order to save his own recovery, to stay in recovery when the business deal in Akron, Ohio blew up in his face, he's desperate to work with somebody. He's been working with people, but it hasn't gone well. But his wife, Lois, thank God for Lois in so many ways, pointed out, you stayed sober. So first and foremost reason to work with others. But he's working with Dr. Bob. Bob has miraculous recovery that lasts the rest of his life. So here we are at the bottom of page, and I'm not going to read a lot out of here, but just a couple sentences. Page XVI. Right, X Victor I, and the top of the next page, very bottom. And I'm quoting, this seemed to prove that one alcoholic could affect another as no non-alcoholic could. It also indicated that strenuous work, one alcoholic with another was vital to, and here's the promise, permanent recovery. I'm not looking just for abstinence and weight loss here. I'm looking for permanent recovery on the daily basis that it comes. By my working the steps and God doing all the rest. So I work with others first and foremost so that I stay in recovery, which it talks about in paragraph one on page 89. We're not going to go into that right now, but it's there. And so also so that I can serve others and pass on to them what was given to me. What does that require? It also requires that I continue to grow spiritually and be changed by my higher power. Notice I didn't say change. I'm changed by my higher power with my permission and cooperation. If I could change myself, I wouldn't need a 12-step program. I'd be good. Get me a food plan. I'm set. Not how it works. So, what do I do as a sponsor? What spices and flavors do I use in this recipe that was given to me by my sponsors using the big book? And we all know here as compulsive eaters that any recipe needs to be followed pretty much exactly if we want to yield the intended result. And you know what? I don't always follow directions well. One thing I do is I mess up and I learn from it because I'm not a perfect person. Therefore, I'm not a perfect sponsor. Who is? So thankfully, the big book is already written. The program of recovery is spelled out clearly in it, and higher power is not me. Thank God I am not powerful enough to get anyone recovered. It's not my assigned role, and that takes a ton of pressure off me. Sure, I want recovery for everyone, but it isn't up to me ever. That's the first thing I learned not to do, not to believe that I can think or talk or push someone into doing the work. And I'm going to get more into that a little bit later. My job is to point the flashlight on the path that my sponsors traveled with me and still do. I'm next to, I'm not in front of or behind or above or beneath a sponsee. And as I point the flashlight, we walk together with their higher power and mine. So, following that, I learned not to ignore my gut, which I also call the God nudge. When I was in the disease, that's a default for me to ignore the God nudge, my gut, in literally as well as figuratively, right? Not knowing when I was full, not knowing when I was hungry, but also in sponsoring, because my default is to ignore that. And every time I ignore it, it does not go well for me or for the sponsee. Because if I'm not being true to my recovery, it's not helping them either. If you want more specifics on that, I have dozens. You can talk to me offline. But suffice it to say that for me, listening to, acknowledging, and going with the God nudge that my gut influences every aspect of working with others. And when I don't do it is one of those big times when I mess up. So I'm learning what not to do as much as I'm learning what to do. And on that note, I've learned slowly, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, to not stray from what worked for me, what my sponsors using the big book gave to me. I need to be authentic, to be true to what I know in order to share it with someone else, because I can't give you what I don't have. That seems obvious, but I have tried mixing things up in core areas and it never works. It makes me feel itchy in my own recovery. How am I serving someone else in that state? The next thing I learned to not do is to guide someone through the steps. This is going to seem so obvious, right? Not to guide someone through the steps when they're not entirely abstinent. I was entirely abstinent for at least 48 hours before we started doing the step work. But when I was first sponsoring, I just felt so desperate and I couldn't, I'm making excuses here, I couldn't find someone who would get through step one. It was just falling off, falling off, falling off. So I was so desperate. I have to sponsor or I'm going to die in the food. So I tried it. I tried taking somebody through who was not entirely abstinent. And because I'm not always the quickest learner, I tried it again and again. It didn't work 3 out of 3 times. Not for me anyway. So I don't decide what someone's abstinence is and what their food plan is. Those are two different things. But I do go through them with them for at least 2 days, 48 hours, enough time, hopefully, to get a good amount of that effect that they're getting from the food out of their system, a little bit of detox situation. I give them podcasts and a path for them to determine their bottom line abstinence from alcoholic foods and food behaviors. And as far as their food plan goes, I take them to OA pamphlet about that. There's a couple of them. I encourage a nutritionist with the key statement who understands compulsive eaters, because otherwise that's not going to be helpful. But I don't insist on it because I was able, by the grace of God, to find a food plan. And of course, I had my sponsor's help, but she didn't decide for me. I was able to find one that would work for me and abstinence and what I would eat, because I didn't even know what I was going to eat. I was really clueless about what healthy amounts are, all of that. So there's a place I take them for that. And you could talk to me offline about that because it is not conference approved literature. It's something from a nutritionist that she offers for free. I do have sponsees weigh and measure their food because that's what I need to do. And I encourage them to see a nutritionist, like I said. But again, if they can't or they don't want to right now, that's not a deal breaker for me. I just want to say that. I do have them pre-commit and stick to what they pre-commit to eat. And then they send it to me before they're going to eat the next day or that day, just before they eat. I do not take pictures. I don't want pictures of people's food. For me, that's food porn. If it works for you, great. Does not work for me. And here's another thing I learned not to do. And this is obvious to so many people, but I had to be reminded multiple times. And that is to let the sponsee run the show. And why do I do that? It's so that they like me, so I'm not being too rigid. The disease is pretty rigid, isn't it? I want to be liked, and that's normal, but I'm holding the flashlight here. So when a sponsee wants to go to a different place, or I'm sorry, I don't know where I went with that. Let's try that again. When a sponsee wants to call less often and they want to go a different pace, they don't want to weigh and measure or pre-commit their food, or they're just not doing the work. That's disease. That's what that is. And I am not helping someone by letting them run things and stray from the path, go off course. My job is to guide them, not to be their friend. And as some say, who might be here tonight, be the adult in the room. So my sponsor is being the adult in the room still to this day, setting and holding boundaries with me gives me clear direction that I need. It is not rigid. It's not mean. It's actually the only way that works for me. And again, I'm not sponsoring to be someone's friend. I want to be friendly, but I am not their friend. I am sponsoring to stay in recovery myself from a deadly and progressive disease. And I just hold the flashlight on that path for them. What else have I learned not to do? I've learned not to think that I'm supposed to know or be everything. I do not know what anyone else needs. I know everybody needs a higher power, but I don't know what anyone else needs. I do not know. And I don't have to be their sponsor for them to recover either. That's so freeing for me because especially nowadays when there are meetings everywhere all the time online and there are hundreds of recovered people available to sponsor, it wasn't always that way, but it is today. And that's very freeing. And that takes me to the next one. And anybody who's known me 5 minutes is aware that this one's a challenge for me and I'm still learning it. I'm learning when to stay and when to go. There's a song I love about that. Should I stay or should I go? And sometimes letting go of a sponsee is the most helpful choice, at least for me, because it helps me stay in recovery. It's not going to work well if it's not working well. It's really that simple. And sometimes it's not a good fit. And since I don't know what anyone else needs, I don't pretend to know how it will help the other person. I do know, though, that their higher power has their back. And if they want recovery, nothing's going to stop them. They'll go to any lengths to get it. And this segues into the next thing. I've learned not to let myself keep wanting a sponsee's recovery more than they do. There's someone here who repeatedly reminds people to read the top of page 96 in the big book. And it's just too good to not read it. If you want to go there with me, it's at the top of 96. I'll try to do it quickly. Do not be discouraged if your prospect does not respond at once. Search out another alcoholic and try again. You are sure to find someone desperate enough to accept with eagerness what you offer. We find it a waste of time to keep chasing a man who cannot or will not work with you. If you leave such a person alone, he may soon become convinced that he cannot recover by himself. To spend too much time on any one situation is to deny some other alcoholic an opportunity to live and be happy. One of our fellowship, Bill W., failed entirely with his first half dozen prospects. He often says that if he had continued to work on them, he might have deprived many others who have since recovered of their chance. There is so much in there. We could unpack it for hours, but all of it has proven true for me in my work with others. Where else did I change the recipe, though, and learn not to do that? Oh, letting people sit in steps, particularly step four, first of all. It is a super quick turnaround from their four to releasing their five to me. In my experience, any longer than that, they will go back. Your mileage may vary, but for me, with my sponsees, they'll go back to their only known solution, which is what? The food. The same is true for steps 8, 9, and 12. Sitting in any of these steps is a recipe for relapse in my experience with sponsees. Here's something I do. I do have sponsees read the book before they see the movie. I want them to have their own concept of Gandalf before they see Lord of the Rings. I want to have their own concept of Bella before they see Twilight, their own concept of Scarlett O'Hara before they see Gone with the Wind. Read the book, then listen to the podcast. So I don't have them listen to the podcast before or instead of reading. And that's easy to tell when we go over the reading together. We don't read it together, but we go over the reading together. I have them listen to the podcast after reading as a focus activity. This is not work to be done while driving home, at the office, kids are wanting something from you. It's all in, all systems go, which reminds me of the next thing that I know not to do. I'm not going to be distracted while I'm sponsoring. It is a focus activity and I cannot do anything else. I need to sit with the big book open, and I have a special big book that is for sponsoring. for me where I have certain things marked while I'm meeting with sponsees. And here's another one. I've learned that I need to pray often for the sponsee, for me, all of it. I need to do it. And it's part of my 11-step practice anyway. I need it. And here's another one. And this is controversial with some of you. I have learned not to sponsor as many people as others can. And they do it beautifully, I might add. It does say in the big book, I must work with others to stay recovered. It doesn't say, to my knowledge, I haven't seen it, that I must work with more than one through the steps at a time. I have more than one sponsee. I don't work more, with more than one or two through the steps at a time because of my bandwidth. It's not even about timing, it's about my bandwidth. Some of you do it beautifully. For me, it has never worked. It messes with my oxygen mask. You all know what I'm talking about, like the flight attendants say, and they show us when we're not paying attention and we just want them to stop and serve us our water already or let us get to the tiny, ridiculously small lavatory. I've got to make sure my oxygen mask is on properly in order to be of any use to anybody else. And so I'm going to go with that analogy and I'm going to speed up a little bit so I can wrap up. I have learned not to work the two-step. There's the 1, 2, 3 waltz, right? Steps 1, 2, and 3. There's also the two-step working 1 and 12 only. If I do that, I'm not keeping my own oxygen mask on with the line unkinked so that the air flows freely and I'm able to give others what has been given to me. I must work every single step every day, like my life depends on it, because it does. This disease is cunning, baffling, powerful. And if untreated or undertreated by only working part of the steps, it will kill me. Then I'm really not of any use to anyone. Here's something I started doing a bit into sponsoring. Actually, I'll get into that later in questions. I don't think we have time, but it's reading on pages 58 and then where they are on the step that they've just completed on 59. It's fun, gives them a little closure. I really enjoy it. And I've also learned and continue to learn to take my disease seriously, but not myself, because boy, howdy, can I take myself seriously. It helps me to laugh at myself a little with them. And I think it helps sponsees to see that I'm a human who burps and makes messes and is just as imperfect as they are. And I'm wrapping up. Belly laughs with a sponsee, for me, are the frosting on the cake. They're better than the frosting on the cake ever was, okay? Because there's no consequence to it like there is with nasty poison that I was eating. I love it when sponsees laugh. And so I'm going to close with something that I love in the foreword to the fourth edition. It's at the very end on XXIV, I, Victor. Last two sentences. In any meeting anywhere, AAs share experience, strength, and hope with each other in order to stay sober and help other alcoholics. So that's the fellowship. I need to do that to carry the message. But here we go. Modem to modem or face to face, AA speak the language of the heart in all its power and simplicity. Hopefully, I can give what language of the heart I speak from the program I work that was given to me by sponsors using this book. Thank you for letting me share what I do, just as importantly, what I don't do when working with others. With that, I'll pass and thank you.